Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host, with you, coming to you from my basement out here in the Eastern Plains of Colorado as we encourage people towards a family-integrated form of education. We'd like parents more involved. Of course, God holds parents responsible for the education of their children. You'll find that in Ephesians 6:4, Deuteronomy 6:7, the book of Proverbs. That is a principle that is shot through the scriptures. And so therefore, we encourage parents to engage their responsibilities in this area. And yet the state has been pressing in on this for nigh unto 150 years since Horace Mann, Jean-Jacques Rousseau, and others came up with the idea that the children belong to the state. And indeed, that's what the system believes. I was at an education committee hearing at the Colorado legislature a couple of years ago when we were debating whether or not the state should control more of our children's education, widening the compulsory attendance law in the state of Colorado. And there were some parents interested in retaining some level of parental involvement in their children's lives, and they were arguing against the increased state ownership and involvement of their children. And a Colorado judge who was testifying on the part of the state turned to those homeschool families that were interested in the issue. And he said to us and to the legislature, all of Colorado's children belong to us. And that, my friends, is the other worldview. Now, the socialists are on the warpath in California, largely because of the Turpin story, which has gained major legs. California Assemblyman Jose Medina, he's a Democrat, he's introducing legislation, he says, to allow for on-site inspections of all private schools, which would include homeschools in the state of California. So imagine that. Imagine the state officials conducting mandatory home visits to every homeschool in the state of California. This Turpin story is a significant story, and we're going to discuss that with Dr. Brian Rafe from the National Home Education Research Institute in just a moment. But the Turpin story, something like 17 million stories on the Turpins right now available online. They were homeschooled parents of 13 children, evidently, and they are being casted as the California House of Horrors. It's been in the news for a couple of weeks, and the salaciousness of the story, I think, has allowed for a great deal of news coverage for this guy. This was a massively dysfunctional family, evidently. Reports of twisted parents who homeschooled their children or didn't homeschool their children, but they said they did. They rejected whatever they knew of the Christian faith, according to a relative, and then descended into a depraved lifestyle, even to the point of allegedly torturing their own children. Now they're facing 12 charges of torture, 12 counts of false imprisonment, 7 counts of abuse of a dependent adult, and 6 accounts of child abuse. Well, Dr. Brad Ray now joins me from the National Home Education Research Institute. And Brian, welcome.
Thank you, Kevin. Good to be here.
Hey, this Turpin story is gaining big time legs. It's probably the biggest story on homeschooling, putting, of course, a bad name on home education that I've seen in 30 years of involvement with the homeschool movement in the United States. At this point, forget the 100,000 success stories you've read and you've seen and you've witnessed on home education in America. And if there's one bad apple, it's going to get some big press, and that's what's happening with the Turpin story in California.
Yeah, I think so, Kevin. And I think you're right. You said salacious. It's titillating. People just love reading this kind of stuff. It's evil behavior. Any of it that's true is evil, and we know that. But it's kind of strange. Like, you don't hear the stories when, you know, say a public school teacher abuses a child, a statutory rape. It's in the news for maybe, you know, a quick spot, third page in the newspaper, and then it goes on. People are desensitized to it. It's just happening all the time. Mm-hmm. But you get one bizarre, evil set of parents doing this kind of thing. It's right. It's kind of got legs of its own, and irrepresentatively, if that's a word, it's not about homeschooling at all. It's about people doing some evil things.
Yeah, not the first time that people have done evil things in the history of the world. But in this case, the news provides this anecdotal data, this story about abuse, and they include a great deal of content. You know, I mean, they describe it, according to witnesses, in its horrific detail. And it seems to me that it's the anecdotal data that motivates change in public policy. That's what's happening with the California Assemblyman, Jose Medina. He reads a story in the news and immediately he jumps into action. Seems to me it's a knee-jerk reaction, and some liberals seem to respond this way to the anecdotal data, and yet perhaps not the best way to construct legislation.
I agree. It's emotional. You know, legislators are supposed to be statesmen. They're supposed to be thoughtful. They're supposed to think about the principles on which this country was built, of freedom, liberty, classical liberalism, biblical freedom. But it's all emotional. And I think you mentioned at the very opening of the show here, we have a big picture. There's a big picture, Kevin. And the question is, are we interested in starting with Scripture first? Secondly, we look at the U.S. Constitution because we live here. Or we like to start with the state is God. And humans somehow can control the entire universe, and by some kind of laws and regulations, they can stomp out all evil. Well, we know the second is false. And we know also from our history and biblical concepts, a person is innocent until proven guilty. And I don't mean just family here. I'm not talking about that. Okay, the justice system.
They're still innocent until proven guilty in a court of law.
They are. Yeah, they are. Yeah. But the justice system will take care of them.
Yeah.
But what I wanted to get to was, we are not supposed to, in a free nation, use laws and regulations as a preemptive dragnet to try to catch people before they might do something wrong. And that's where these socialist and statist-type people who say they're just out to protect children are going. And if we take this to the natural conclusion, and people say, well, you know, Brian, that's a slippery slope fallacy. It's not the slippery slope fallacy. I like the way one writer said this, said, just what you do here is try this. Whenever you read a proposal for compulsory inspections of the children of homeschoolers, try substituting the word terrorism for child abuse and Muslim for homeschooling.
Yeah. Then
see if the idea is still so appealing. Mm-hmm. In other words, okay, so let's say homes where Muslims live, the parents, and they're teaching their children possibly that using violence is okay. It's good.
And how many stories have you read in the news where a Muslim father gets upset with his daughter and cuts off her hands, or what? You know, there have been a number of stories of Muslim parents doing ungodly, wretched things to their kids. And now, what are we going to do? We're going to investigate every Muslim family in America?
That's exactly the concept here. We got to start making spot checks, mandatory government forced inspections of every Muslim home. You know, we don't believe in that. That's wrong. That's not the proper idea here. All of a sudden, they're profiling homeschoolers.
On top of that, I read Los Angeles Times, there are organizations in America calling for a mandatory criminal checks for every homeschooling family. I mean, think about a million homeschooling families subjected to mandatory criminal background checks, and then do that for every Muslim family in America at the same time. And then you're beginning to see what the Nazis did with the Third Reich.
Yeah, I think it's true. Now, Kevin, I don't want to be accused of the red herring fallacy here, but I'd like to shift something just for a second.
Yeah.
Okay, so are there a few homeschool parents who do evil things?
Yes.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. That's not even, we don't need to argue that. But let's take this for a minute. From a review of research by Dr. Charles Shakeshaft in 2004, she came up with the best estimate is 10%. Now, this just follows real quickly here. 10% of all public school children experience sexual abuse and sexual misconduct by school employees.
Wow.
That's teachers, administrators, bus drivers, custodians, coaches. Now stop and think for a minute. This year there are about 50.7 million K-12 public school students. That means that best estimate is right now as we sit here, 5,070,000 of them by the time they graduate will experience sexual abuse and misconduct by public school personnel.
That's incredibly high.
Now, add to this, Department of Justice just this fall said only an estimated 5% of these evil deeds by school employees will ever be reported to law enforcement or child welfare. This is mind-boggling. Now, add to that, every year, just in the reported incidents, every year, over 4,250 sex assaults by students on students. Now, what's the point? This is millions and millions of children in public school systems. On top of that, some of these public school children have parents who are abusing them and doing all kinds of things to them. Okay, so my point is, if people actually are caring about all the children, and if they want to do mandatory government inspections of school homes, then we need to be equitable. And so what we're going to do every year, twice per year, random interviews by mandatory government reporters of every single public school child and ask, has anybody ever touched you inappropriately, sexted you, shown you pornography, on and on and on and on. Is it coaches, teachers, parents, whatever? And then all the data gets reported to the police and to the media.
Well, I think what happens is that you wind up punishing the 95% or the 99% of homeschool parents who are innocent because there were some who violated certain kids, whether it be in the home or in the public school. So I guess the principle of the matter is we don't want to call for these preemptive punishments. But
correct.
at the same time, we want to go after the bad guys.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm only making that example to make the point. Focus. It's a profiling focus, a wrong one, on homeschool families. It should not be doing it. And we know from the scripture and from, again, U.S. jurisprudence, it's if somebody does something evil, you punish them.
Yeah.
And let's go back to the story of the Turpins for a minute. I think you've noticed in the stories, it's coming out that supposedly the mom's sisters knew something weird was going on. So, oh, I tried to contact for 20 years. They wouldn't let me. And then some neighbors. And Kevin, we have to start talking about what about individual human responsibility and care and love?
Yeah.
There's so many questions here that people have to look at instead of the emotional, anecdotal story and the legislator responding to that. That's wrong.
Now, public school teachers do bad things. And by the way, Fox News, I think, has had a story about teachers abusing kids almost every day, maybe 2-3 per day for the last year or two. It's been on the front page of FoxNews.com almost every day. So I think people are aware of how bad the public schools are. And this 10% number actually might be a little bit low. Now, if you include all of the sexual abuse that public school kids receive, we did a survey of 10,000 homeschooled, public school, private schooled students. As you recall, it was called the Millennial Gen 2 Survey. And I'd like you to speak to that for just a moment. But we asked the question about sexual abuse. And these folks answered that question. They said whether they had been abused or not over that period of 18 years, whether they'd been public schooled, Christian schooled, or homeschooled. And we didn't ask them where the abuse came from. We just simply asked the question, were you abused? And what we found was that 18% of public school students said they had been sexually abused. That is, of those public school students who've been in public school for 9 to 12 years, 18% of them said they'd been abused, 15% of Christian schooled students, and only 6% of homeschooled students who'd been homeschooled for 9 to 12 years. So, you know, the homeschool incidence of abuse was one-third of that experienced by those kids who had attended public schools.
But see, Kevin, this is a perfect example, and you know that I was a researcher in that study. It's a perfect example. Okay, here we have real data. We even included a representative sample in the study from a third party. We paid to get the sample. So we have evidence that if anything, just one piece of evidence, lower abuse rates by those who were home educated than those who went to public school and Christian schools, and yet you get this emotional response of the legislator down there. Okay, so what's good about this is that you have to have at least a correlation to talk about a causation, and there's not even a bad correlation with homeschooling. So they're just out of proportion, totally out of proportion. And I think another important thing to think about here, and this is something that almost nobody talks about, except I have to give credit to this man named Richard Wexler, who is an expert on child protection. He is a self-professed liberal and so forth and so on. But he said, this is completely wrong to profile homeschool families. And he said, what nobody's talking about is when you start doing things like mandatory interviews, private interviews, there are many harms done to the children. And then you raise all kinds of suspicions. The mandatory interviewer knows he or she's supposed to be looking for problems. And then they misdiagnose, they misreport. This is a nightmare. It's an absolute nightmare that will do harm to thousands and thousands and thousands of children because maybe they'll catch a couple of bad parents.
Well, that's because the state is terrible at this business. the state is responsible for punishing evildoers, guys who have already hurt people or robbed banks or murdered people. Let's talk about the statistics concerning severe child abuse. You just did a report on this, a very significant study, a very important report that you issued. It's called Child Abuse of Public School, Private School, and Homeschool Students, Evidence, Philosophy, and Reason. It's available at nheri.org and just issued January 23rd, 2018. So, Brian, there are some data on severe abuse. That is, you know, severe child abuse where homeschooled kids have died as a result of physical abuse. And according to one of the researchers, homeschool students 40% less likely to die from physical abuse. Do you think that's accurate?
I think it's accurate. Here's where we go again with research. Sometimes you have no research. Sometimes you have a little bit. On this topic, all we have is a little bit. And the two studies that have been done, one by a group that is, by their very nature and their very mission, is out to control homeschooling. They think that the government needs to control homeschooling. The government has a job a priori ahead of time to try to protect everybody, which is not a biblical concept, not a U.S. historical concept. Their own analysis said no significant difference between homeschool families and the general public on child fatalities due to neglect and abuse. No difference, okay? And then Mr. Roger Williams did a very excellent analysis, and he said, you know, actually, when you look at the legally homeschooled students, they're 40% less likely to die to child abuse or child neglect than the general public. And he did a great job, and I looked at it. Yeah, those are the facts so far. That's what we know. So, you know, if you want to flip this around, this sounds really silly, but if, in fact, the child fatalities are lower in homeschool families, the statist and socialist type legislator should be trying to encourage everybody to homeschool.
They're going to be safer. They're going to be way safer. They're going to be three times safer if they're in a homeschool environment versus a public school environment, at least according to our data.
Yeah, if you only want to use a statistic, then you got to do that. It's kind of like if on average, and this has been found by many researchers and myself now for 30 years, if on average homeschool children do better academically, then why are the professional educators, the professors of education, and the legislators not trying to encourage everybody to homeschool? Yeah. See, something's not honest out there. You know, it's just there's something a little disingenuous going on.
We're speaking with Dr. Brian Ray from the National Home Education Research Institute. Brian, do you think that this data will have any influence upon the California legislature as they consider more regulation for homeschools in the state of California? Or will they say, just don't confuse me with the data? I'm emotionally wrought over a single news story. I'd rather not be, you know, confused by any of your data. I just want to create more of a social estate, and I want gendarmes in every single home in the state of California.
And you asked me to be any influence. Yes.
Okay.
How much? I don't know.
Yeah. Okay.
And I think that people who know real evidence, and by the way, academics are always saying these days they want empirical-based evidence, evidence-based thought, you know, legislators, those who believe in, again, U.S. historical freedom, biblical freedom, need to show the statistics amidst also, of course, positive testimony about what homeschooling does for children and families in the community. They have to do both. They have to do both, Kevin. And third, one more thing, they've got to talk about the principles, because even though perhaps most legislators in California don't believe in historical principles of liberty, the people who promote it got to keep saying it and encourage the legislators who do have some kind of little flicker, flame of freedom left in their head.
You think we're going to win these battles, Brian? I know that New Hampshire state legislature has just been considering more restrictive control over home education in the state of New Hampshire, and hundreds of homeschool families showed up to some of those debates. Do you think they'll have any influence?
I am pretty confident in New Hampshire, yes. The homeschoolers, the people who believe in freedom, are having an influence there. That's really good, and it's a good story. The answer isn't there yet, but from the little bit I know in the background, legislators were listening carefully, and very few people testified in favor of more government control. Now, of course, it might be very different in California, but the people have to come out. If the homeschool families, and I'd say this, not just homeschool families, any people, private school, public school people, who believe in classic liberty, they've got to speak up now. They can't just hang out the homeschoolers to dry all alone. They've got to speak up on this issue, because this is a very fundamental core issue about the government coming into homes. Americans got to think about that. You want the government coming into your home to do inspections?
I think we all need to consider how important the battle for freedom, for family rights, for parental rights is. How worthwhile is it in comparison to, say, the life issue? Do you think that parents, families, Christian folks need to be concerned about parental rights and engaged on this political issue?
Kevin, this is a core issue. Every single parent, every single grandparent, every single 25-year-old has to ask the question, who is in charge? Who is given the authority and the responsibility to decide what a child is taught and how he's fed and how he's clothed? And I don't mean abuse. We're not talking about that. It's a fundamental issue in any free nation. And if you come down on the side of the government, you just gave up. I mean, you're talking fascism, tyranny, statism, all the way. You cannot go that direction if you believe in any semblance of biblical or historical U.S. freedom. It's a very, very core issue, Kevin. Absolutely. And I believe it's why when you have 87% of children in public schools right now, people who have a different world from what you espouse on this radio show, these 87% of children are being taught, trained, and indoctrinated for 13 years in things that are antithetical to what you promote, Kevin. And I think that's absolutely why we see the direction of many things in our nation for the last 50 years.
Well, I really think this is the very core of the battle of worldviews. The enemy is doing everything that the enemy can to get the hearts and minds of our kids in this next generation and extend the apostasy and break down the faith and break down freedom. Obviously, that's the battle, the present battle. But here, one last question, Brian. What do you say about those embittered liberals who actually will tell you, I would much rather the state parent the children than parents, because I don't like parents. I don't like my parents. I don't like any parents. And I don't think parents should parent the kids, because the state is always going to be a better nanny or a better parent than the parents. How do you respond to that?
Well, I say, first of all, many of them had bad experiences, and I'm sorry. I wish they had not had bad experiences. But again, we should not run our lives on experiences. We need to run our lives on truth. And either they have to decide in their minds that they are their own gods, or that there's a God with a capital G, and he revealed himself through something called the scriptures. Mm. And it's one choice or the other. You don't have two choices. And statists and utilitarians generally choose humans as God, as their own God, because there's always an ultimate authority. Mm-hmm. They say, well, the U.S. Constitution is the ultimate authority. No, it's not. Or they'll say, well, my reasoning or child safety is the ultimate authority. No, it's not. God's word is the authority. And I just pray that they realize that, they think about it. Who's my God? Myself and my own reasoning? Or is it this God we call the creator of the universe, who revealed himself through the word of God? The scripture is the thing we call the Bible. It's really that simple. I hope I don't sound preachy, but it's that simple. Yeah. And I would say that in front of academics at research conferences. You've got to choose who's your ultimate authority. Yeah. They think their own thinking is the ultimate authority. They're wrong.
There's no possibility of absolute ethics without God, without God's law. And otherwise, we're just wandering in a wasteland of relativism, and there's no possibility to know what could be right or what could be wrong without God giving us something of an absolute ethic. But one other point I would make is that the idea that we should absolutely trust the righteousness, the goodness, the virtue of the state, that is, you know, state nannies or state representatives, is foolish. The idea that you can empower the state with absolute power and somehow that absolute power will not corrupt absolutely is foolish. The state has proven itself again and again to corrupt itself because, you know, the hearts of men are sinful, and you start to empower tyrants and bureaucracies with unusual power over individual families and individual lives, and you will see that power corrupted. Because you're going to have individual parents who do bad things, but you're also going to have statists who do bad things too. And I think what happens is people trust in the state implicitly, forgetting that the state is made up of fallible, sinful, depraved people, and without binding them down by law, limiting their powers, you can expect something of a hell on earth if you create a socialist tyranny in this country or anywhere else. So, you know, I guess it comes back to whether you're going to trust in man with all sorts of power to his disposal. And you do that, you're going to be in a heap of trouble.
It's a big trouble. When I ask myself, does my local government love me? No.
Yeah.
Does my state government love me? No. That's I'm not anti-government. I believe in an absolutely biblical, limited government. But my government doesn't love me.
Yeah.
Never has.
Yeah. Much rather be raised by parents than be raised by the state if you had a choice of one or the other. And granted, we do live in a fallen world. And thankfully, the state is there to rein in the abuse of power, such as what we saw with the Turpin family. So again, let's be sure they go after the bad guys, but let's not punish the other 97% of the populace because of the wayward actions of one family. All right. Well, let's invite people to your website. Give us just a sense for what you do, Brian, because I do think people need to know about the National Home Education Research Institute. You've done so much for the cause of liberty. You get the data out there. And it has been extremely useful to defend homeschooling families across this country and around the world. Talk to us about NHEERI.
Yeah, we've been doing and following research on home-based education, parental involvement, all those kinds of things. Kevin, I can hardly believe this now. I've been doing that for over 33 years. The National Home Education Research Institute was founded 28 years ago. It's amazing. God has taken care of us. Anyway, it's NHEERI.org. So NHEERI.org. And people can get a free monthly homeschool research news. Just go to the website, top right, click connected, and do it. So we just do basic research, real research, facts, figures, statistics. We follow research. We present it to the public. And we tell people every researcher, every professor, even if he says he's objective, has a worldview. Okay?
Yep.
There, some of them are critical theorists, some of them are LGBTQ theorists, some of them are neo-Marxists, some are statists, some are socialists. I come from the perspective of biblical freedom, classical liberal freedom, and those kinds of things. That's where I come from in my theoretical framework.
All right.
We try to just do honest stuff.
All right. Very good. Again, folks, that research base is NHEERI.org on the web. Dr. Brian Ray has been our guest today on the Generations Broadcast. Thanks, Brian. Appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
This is Kevin Swanson inviting you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.